And now for something completely different. Guernsey's German bunkers are prominent enough as they stand stoically on our coastline, but their fame, or perhaps notoriety, is about to spread across Britain. A new TV series called Secret Nazi Bases will cover some of our island's occupation story, and it's due to be broadcast on the Yesterday Channel in November.
1940. Hitler has finally conquered a piece of Great Britain and transformed the Isle of Guernsey into an impregnable fortress.
There is so much invested here.
He built 29 tunnels, munition stores, hospitals, its own water reservoir, Enigma machine, a Freya radar system. This was effectively its own self-contained underground city.
It's a huge amount of concrete, and it's unrealistic to put that on a 65 square kilometer island.
The executive producer and director of Secret Nazi Bases is Daniel Oren, and he joins us via Skype from his home across the pond. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, how did this series come about?
Well, we were really interested in finding a few new angles on the World War II construction and plots and secrets that the Nazis took, and we pitched it to a number of networks that were very excited about the angle, the fresh sort of new take on it. Once we got sort of the green light from Discovery Science and UK TV's Yesterday, it was off and running.
Did you have any idea about the Channel Islands' involvement in the Second World War and the fact that they were occupied before you embarked on this series?
I must say that even though I am quite the World War II fan also the history fan, that I knew about the Channel Islands, I knew about Guernsey being fortified, but I had no concept of the level of construction and the rich and somewhat tragic history that the islands, and in particular Guernsey, went through during that time.
Well, I think it's safe to say all of our families were affected. We've all got stories that we can tell as Guernsey families about our relatives being evacuated or staying here or being shot at by Germans. It's affected each and every family in the island. Were you surprised at the amount of concrete poured onto the Channel Islands?
I don't think anything prepares you for that sight. And it's interesting because one of our experts, Dr. Robert Watson, who is a pretty well-renowned history figure, had been to Guernsey before, and he had been to the underground hospital, and he'd been to some of the sites that we featured, and yet he was still shocked when he saw the footage that we had filmed. I don't think anything prepares you for it. Even all the imagery you might see when you're, you know, surfing the internet and doing the research. And I think our staff in particular just kept coming back to this sort of shock at the imagery. And then once you're there, it's a completely different story.
Now, this film or TV documentary series, Secret Nazi Bases, is going to be aired on the Yesterday Channel in November. Do you know when in November, so we can put a little mark in our diaries?
Yes, I believe that currently the date is November 9th at 8 o'clock. But I will confirm that if you want.
Yes, please. So we're provisionally November the 9th at 8 o'clock.
Let me just check that 100% against our work. And I should have known that right as we were coming up. November 8th at 8 o'clock British time.
That's easy to remember. November the 8th at 8 o'clock. And where else is featured? Because you've covered Guernsey. You came over to Guernsey to cover some of our war story. But have you filmed anywhere else?
Yes, and actually Guernsey played a part in that as well. I can tell you about that. We filmed an exciting episode at the Maisie Batteries just across the pond from you guys. That was our second episode in. A lovely man by the name of Gary Stern, a Brit, had uncovered a unknown before fire base the size of 4 football fields and more, and the excavations are still going on, that really sort of rocked and changed historians' view of D-Day, and has actually started quite a debate about the events that we thought we knew so much about. After that, we went up to an incredible V2 bunker in the north of France called Kraftwerk Nord. We have also filmed in the secret tunnels in Austria with some potential atomic interest there, and in an unknown, pretty previously unknown even to me and some of our Polish experts, 25 square kilometer explosives factory in Poland. And then we also were in the Canary Islands, and that was actually one of the sort of stranger episodes for us, for a house that people suspect was a U-boat base. But Guernsey played another piece for us because of the incredible richness, not only of the concrete and the bunkers and the restoration that's been done there, which I think is incredible and worth anyone's visit, but also the historical reenactors and the level of knowledge that the people on the island have, not just about their own occupation, but about World War II, the Germans, the British involvement, the American involvement. And so we turned to Guernsey again, of all places, and said, can we come back and do more filming of recons for some of our other episodes? And between their consultants, their reenactors, and just so many amazing people on the island that have been involved in the sort of preservation of the occupation, we pulled off, I think, something that we wouldn't be able to do without them.
We've discussed time and time again on this programme that perhaps Guernsey as a jurisdiction needs to do far more to sell this part of our history to the many people globally who are interested. Now, I understand Visit Guernsey did actually lend a hand, is that right?
I wouldn't call it a hand. I think we couldn't have done this show on Guernsey without them. The guys at Visit Guernsey, the guys at Festung, the Underground Hospital—I mean, I could just to name, a few of the institutions, and that's not including the individuals that worked with us. I mean, me personally, through hundreds, if not, dozens of phone calls and emails, they basically became an arm of our production, which we did not expect, did not anticipate, and couldn't be grateful enough for. But it's not every, we film a lot all over the world. We've done quite a lot of filming in different countries, all over the world. And we've never, I told them this on day one, we've never experienced this level of assistance, keenness, excitement about stuff that you guys see every day, in your backyard. I come from a small town back home, and Guernsey isn't that big. And yet, there was still an excitement about everything that we were doing, looking at through our fresh eyes. So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't recommend enough people producing there. Although, I think not just making film, I think the tourism alone. I mean, I would go, I told them I would go back to Guernsey regardless. I'm going to bring my family over to Guernsey regardless of the occupation, remnants that are there. I think it's one of the most amazing places I've been.
We have to come camping with us in the summer, Daniel. Let's find out what viewers will get out of this. In your words, what do you think you could say to my listeners to sell this series to them?
I think one of the interesting things, and I might be paraphrasing something that Dr. Watson said, is that we think we really know everything about history, and especially World War II, and especially the German plots. And the reason for that is because I just think D-Day in particular, and beyond, and everything surrounding the Nazi occupation, and then the pushback to victory by the Allies and the Soviets. We just think, for the last 75 years and going on now, we know everything, especially about sites that are in plain view, like Guernsey. I mean, it wasn't hidden, or D-Day. There's stuff turning up all the time. It's an incredible experience for a filmmaker. It's an incredible experience for, I think, a viewer, that you could just keep writing hundreds and thousands of books and making tens of series, because we're not even milking the same stuff. I mean, Guernsey's been featured on other shows. It's not like we haven't seen them before. And the same with D-Day, the beaches that we filmed. It's incredible, because I think it gives you an a unique view into the depth and the level of plans and plots and logistics that were put in place to execute some relatively fanatical and also fantastical ideas that the Nazis had. We have to be very careful in our show to not sort of accidentally flatter or get too geeked out about the things that they did, but they really did, just take one look at Guernsey. They really did achieve some incredible feats, and we keep thinking that we know it all, and then someone digs up a new tunnel in their backyard or finds a new piece of an aircraft no one had seen before.
And
And that's
also,
what the series is about, to keep Nazi bases.
it's about the skill and the speed and the efficacy of the counter attacks by the Allies as well. And we heard about that on the D-Day commemorations. 2 years in the planning. And I mean, amazing feats. We can't even organise Brexit in this day and age. Do you think people from America will have access to this series? Will it be seen globally? Because I'm hoping that lots of people come on holiday as a result to see these structures.
Well, whatever we can do to help that, that'd be great. we've already premiered in the US on Discovery Science Channel last week. So the show is airing now weekly in the States on Discovery Science. They're very excited about it. And we have premiered in, I believe, Poland and some of the regions around it on History Channel. We also premiere today, quite soon, in Benelux on Discovery. And it will also premiere in January on the CBC Documentary Channel for Canada. In addition to that, we already know that our amazing distributor, DCD Rights, has pre-sold it to Foxtel and SBS in Australia and New Zealand. So there's quite a bit of hype for the show, and hopefully it'll do well.
Well, that's fantastic news. Thank you very much indeed for being with us today. And just before we say farewell to you, what interested you the most, Daniel, while you were here?
That's a really good question. I think the people. You know, I think that there's a lot of places I've been around the planet that are fascinating, whether you're a diver or a desert goer, a mountain climber. There's always something fascinating about some place you go, and there's endless beautiful sights and amazing experiences and architecture that you can see around the planet. But it's not always the experience that you hope it will be when you look at the visuals before you're going. And a lot of that has to do with the experience you have when you're there. And that has to do in particular with the people. I'm going to be really honest. The weather in December was not conducive to filming the show. Our lenses were blowing around quite well out on MP3 trying to film those clips. But I have to say that people of Guernsey are like a hidden gem. I'm only going to assume that the rest of the Channel Islands are like that because we met some people from Jersey who came over for the to be reenactors in our shooting. The people are unbelievable. And I'm talking not just about the people that worked with us every day. Every time I walked into a grocery store to pick up supplies at 5 a.m. before we went out to the cliffs, every person at every hotel we stayed. And I know the difference between just being nice because it's a tourism heavy industry. The people of Guernsey are somewhat magical to me. And I look forward very much to coming back.
Well, thank you very much indeed for trying to put us on the map with this. Daniel Oren, thank you. It's been a pleasure. That's Daniel Oren there, the executive producer of the TV documentary series Secret Nazi Bases. We asked Visit Guernsey to chat to us about their involvement in this good news stories for our island, but no one was available to speak to us. However, the organisation's Paul Amory sent us these words. Unfortunately, I'm unable to attend or call in for the interview on Monday morning relating to the new documentary that we assisted Daniel and the team at Go Button Media with when they were in Guernsey filming in November of 2018 and again in May of 2019. Visit Guernsey's involvement was in pre-production, assisting in gaining permission for some of the filming locations in association with Fest on Guernsey, the Guernsey Armoury, the Guernsey Military History Company, the Channel Islands Occupation Society and the Occupation Museum, as well as the State's Property Services. During the filming, Visit Guernsey provided assistance with a couple of the team members assisting with some of the on-island logistics, such as transportation of the crew around the numerous locations at which they filmed. Visit Guernsey was pleased to assist this international documentary crew in the production of a documentary regarding an important period of our island's history that will raise awareness and interest in our island. I hope the interview goes well, and I'm sorry I'm unable to attend. Well, thank you very much indeed for that. And that comes from Paul Amory. Much appreciated there. And we have in the studio Fest on Guernsey's Paul Bugays, because his organisation was one of those assisting Daniel in his quest. Paul, welcome to the show.
Morning.
How did you get involved in this series?
Well, normally it's as it has in the past. It starts off with an email from a researcher via our website, asking all sorts of questions and would we be available to help with up and coming production. So yes, obviously the answer is yes. We never say no. Bit of backwards and forwards, and then you then start getting past higher up the chain as things start getting serious. And I think I was quickly passed on to Daniel, who then sort of proceeded to give me a barrage of questions about all matters of the occupation. And that's how it goes. And then you basically start planning closer to the event, you know, and we dealt with an awful lot of permission, location permissions. They were very strict. Some companies are not as strict as others. You know, if they're on public land, they're quite happy to film. In this case, they wanted a permission slip for every single land parcel that they were filming on. So that we did in conjunction with Visit Guernsey. They were helpful with some of the state's properties. And then it's really all about when they get here, taking time off, you know, various members of the group, making ourselves available.
What did you actually do as a group?
Really just opening up fortifications that we looked after. And obviously you're going to talk to Russell at some point. So, you know, we involved him quite early on because we don't do reenacting. It's not something we do on our sites, but obviously that's his expertise. So we bring him in to do that part of it.
We're going to get Russell on the phone right now, I think. So, yeah, my glamorous assistant is organising that. Thanks, Jake. So you didn't get involved with reenactments, but were you there when they started filming?
Yes.
So what sort of things were the presenter saying, or weren't they? Was there someone doing a kind of commentary?
A lot of that was done by later. They were just getting footage and filming, you know, with drones and all sorts. It was filming reenactors, obviously. And they even brought over a guy from the Netherlands, Bob, whose speciality is animation. He did a lot of time-lapse stuff, which is very, very interesting. Sitting in a bunker for like 3 hours, clicking a button and just making moss disappear and making radios work, you know, and all this kind of thing. It's fascinating.
Well, we've got Russell Doherty on the line from Guernsey's Military History Company, and we can speak to him now. Russell, good morning to you. Where is he? Good morning to you, Russell.
Good morning.
Good morning. What was your involvement in this series?
Well, I've just picked up on what Paul was saying there. I think you know the Guernsey Military History Company of old, so... as you know, we can do pretty much anything and everything sort of Guernsey related 1860 to 1945 in military uniform. And in this case, we were asked to provide a number of guys in authentic German garrison order to basically create a number of small cameo film snippets of different elements of soldiering through the occupation on the various sites.
And what does it actually feel like to be in German or Nazi uniform in this day and age doing those reenactments? Does it feel bizarre?
I'm going to say no, simply because we do so many different periods. You know, it's just another interpretation of a piece of history. So, you know, I've done it in everything from red tunics right through to Second World War British Army, lots of World War One stuff, as you know. So it's just another sort of job in a way.
And Paul, do you and Russell work closely together like this on a regular basis?
Well, we're all members of the military vehicle group, and you know, there's a lot of collaboration on different things. Yeah.
Collaboration's not a word that we like to use around here when we're talking about the war. Russell and Paul, it begs the question yet again, do we need to ramp up the selling of Guernsey's unique selling point for tourist purposes? I mean, Visit Guernsey have done their bit to help put this documentary series together or help the producers, but do you think Guernsey as a jurisdiction really needs to do more to market this part of our history? Because so many people globally are interested in it. Paul, we'll start with you first of all.
Definitely. Go to Normandy and see what they do. We do it 10 times better. You know, the quality, we just need to push it further afield to make sure that we're getting the tourists here.
Russell, what about you? What are your thoughts?
I agree wholeheartedly with Paul. And, you know, we've known each other a long time. We've worked on a number of projects over the years. You know, we're old friends. And, yeah, you know, I couldn't agree more. Guernsey is almost unique. You know, the volume of history we have here per square meter probably, you know, excels most other places and jurisdictions. And I've travelled extensively doing reenactment work and film work, living history work through Europe for the last, you know, best part of 30 years. And we have got a very, very unique and special place that we live on. And there is definitely scope for a lot more than we do currently.
I mean, I don't want to offend or put out Mr. Richard Hume, who runs the Guernsey Occupation Museum, and a wonderful job he does too. However, is it time now for a big military centre that tourists could go and see? Do you think we could set something like that up now, Paul? What do you think?
No, I think the Occupation Museum is a real jewel in the crown. It's
absolutely,
it's unique. It's not, you know, you go in there and it is Richard's collection. All the little bits and pieces, you know, you go to a big museum, you don't see any of that. It's minimalist now. That's the way these museums work. So it needs to be left well alone. But I think there is scope for tours, more specialised tours of the various fortifications. I mean, given the amount of tourists we're getting at the moment, I don't think there's any scope to start opening more bunkers, because you're just going to water down the intake at all the others. So, you know, it's not going to do anybody any favours. But I think there is definitely a market at the moment for specialised tours.
And tours in military history vehicles and that sort of thing. I mean, where else in the world could you do that?
Yeah, I mean, that has another layer of complications with
health
licensing,
and safety,
et cetera,
insurance, yeah, and everything else.
In an ideal world, yeah, that'd be great. That's the sort of thing you do when you go to other countries. But
Russell, what are your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more. As for Richard's Museum, I would actually say it is probably one of the best of its kind anywhere in Europe. You know, most of the bigger museums you go to concentrate on, you know, if you like, the military aspects. Richard's Museum is almost unique,
yeah,
in the way that it covers civilian life in the period. And the quality of that collection is outstanding. And as Paul says, and I agree, you know, wholeheartedly, it stands alone on its own plinth, if you like. There is scope. You know, we've got so many wonderful sites on the island. I don't think one big centre really is needed. What we need to do is actually, you know, showcase what we have. So you would literally go around and visit multiple sites, the same as you would do in any other location. You know, if you go to, you know, obviously Normandy was relating to World War II, but if you go back to World War I, you know, if you go to Passchendaele, you know, you don't just go to one little place. There are a number of places on that visit you would do. The same if you go to the Somme. The same if you go, you know, go back another 100 years and you go to sites relating to the Battle of Waterloo.
What are your bugbears when it comes to the promotion of this side of things?
Well, advertising. I mean, you never ever see an advert for Guernsey's military history on the History Channel.
And any other. I mean, I've gone round with my friends in the summer, and everyone who runs these organisations, they're so passionate about it as well, aren't they? The volunteers, the underground hospital, and they are absolutely passionate. You're right, there are no dedicated leaflets or that sort of thing. Russell, what's your bugbear when it comes to the promotion of this part of Guernsey's history?
I think you know, really, yeah, I would go along with Paul. There is no specific promoting. Our military history, I mean, I'm not just talking the World War II history, but going right back, you know, our Napoleonic, pre-Napoleonic fortifications. The island is so rich that it almost needs promoting in its own right,
yeah,
as opposed to, you know, everything else that we promote about the island. The island's military heritage, for its size, has to be one of the richest in Europe, if not potentially the world.
Paul, from Fest on Guernsey, what are you most looking forward to the public seeing from this documentary, Secret Nazi Bases?
I think it really does sort of drill down. You get to see some real nice detail of the bunkers and stuff the public won't have seen.
And actually, it celebrates all your hard work, doesn't
yes,
it, with Fest on Guernsey. That's a key point for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
the hours, the volunteer hours that have gone into restoring these bunkers, we mustn't take that for granted.
Yeah, and it's all there for one purpose, that's to educate people so they can see. I mean, we had another company that came, and I won't mention their name, that did some filming, and they basically said, you know, we've been portraying bunkers as bare concrete with rust streaming down the walls in our sort of video games, if you like. And then we come here and we see it's like the interior of somebody's house. You know, the walls are white, it's clean, there's beds, you know. And so it's changed their way of thinking, just seeing what we've been doing, which is good to see.
Russell, thank you very much indeed for being with us today. Are you on Guernsey or are you on a trip?
No, I'm on Ireland at the moment, but we are preparing to go away for one more trip this year.
Where are you off to?
We go at the weekend. We're actually off to Arnhem for the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Arnhem.
Oh, well, keep us posted. Thank you very much indeed, both of you, and to Paul Borges in the studio, to Russell Doherty on the phone. Thank you very much indeed. Keep up the good work.
No problem.
Thank you, gentlemen. And do remember, Secret Nazi Bases is going to air at 8 o'clock on the 8th of November on the Yesterday TV channel, and you can see the hard work of many local people who've helped the producers of that programme to put it together. It'll be well worth a watch. This is BBC Radio Guernsey.